Life Church, how you doing? I said, hey, Life Church, how you doing? That's better. That's better. Everything's bigger in Texas. And including the shout-outs. I don't need you to shout out. I need you to actually listen to the Word of God and do what it says. Pastor mentioned that I've been thinking a fair bit about, I spent about half of my life these days in the US. We're still based in Sydney, Australia. Hi. Can you just get my good side, please? It's that side. I don't need to convince you. The world's gone crazy. I mean, and we can, you know, I can laugh at that, but actually the destruction potentially to our children is rife. And we do get a bit of a context. I do get to travel around beyond Australia and the US. These are desperate times. I don't want to be hysterical, but they're desperate times. And if we won't stand up, good on you, Stormy. If we won't stand up, then who will? We, in our church, little did I know, that one of my friends and the guy that became Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison, they've been friends for 20 years, been discipling. He and Jen play golf with him when I'm back in Australia. And God plucked him from relative, not obscurity, but he was kind of two or three down the line, and he went into the party room for a vote and came out Prime Minister just before COVID. And every day he would communicate with me and a couple of others, and he said, my prayer today is to hear the voice of God. I want to know what Jesus wants today. Does that mean he made 100% great decisions? No, no one's got perfect revelation. But he led us strongly through COVID to be, you know, it was you know, a terrible time. But you didn't have COVID here in Texas, did you? That's right. They say if you don't get tested, you haven't got it, right? So, but I do have a sense that Texas is very, very important in God's scheme of things for the US and maybe even beyond. And I'm honestly not just saying that to carry favor. I've been saying to the guys, two verses, and I'll go real quick because I've got some stuff I want to land the plane on the series that you've been doing, The Blessed Life. Pastor kicked it off with, I think it was yourself, Spirit of Mammon. We talked about the test, talked about am I generous, talked about a whole lot of stuff. Not word for word, but being as a guide, Pastor Robert Morris's book, The Blessed Life. Today we're going to bring it home with the principles of multiplication. And I want you to know, I've come with faith in my heart that God is wanting to unlock. God is wanting to seriously unlock some stuff in the lives of people. The truth is, you will seed what you see. You will seed what you see. A farmer who doesn't see the potential of a harvest, why would he waste the seed? He'll make bread, all of it. You'll seed what you see. Could you say that with me? You'll
seed what you see.
One more time with feeling. You'll
seed
what you see. The two verses that God gave me just the last couple of days, one was out of Ezekiel 47. It's the river of God coming out from under the throne, the altar of God, and it flows east. So if it's flowing east, where's it flowing from? The west. Just saying. And the prophet was led through to the ankles, to the knees, to the waist, and to a point where he couldn't stand up. He had to swim. And then the Bible says that on each side of that river, which as soon as it hit the Dead Sea is by name and nature dead. It's full of salt. There's nothing lives there. When it hits the Dead Sea, everything comes to life. There are fish everywhere. In fact, the Dead Sea became as fruitful as the Mediterranean Sea. The dead met the med. And this, the trees along the side were for the healing. The leaves were for the healing of the nations. I believe that potentially God is wanting churches to rise up in Texas, West Texas, East Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area, north, south, in order to bring that clarion call right now. The second verse is in 2 Kings chapter 13, where Elisha told the king, he said, open the east window. If they're opening the east window, looking east, where are they looking from? So open the east window. The king had his hand with the hand of Elisha on the bow, and they shot the arrow through the east. The east window speaks of fresh vision. And I believe that coming from east, from west to east, God is wanting to do something really, really strong. And then he said to the king, he said, strike the ground with the arrows. And the king kind of went, and he said, and the prophet was not happy. He said, if you just struck it three times, if you had struck it six times or something, and it wasn't talking about three to six, he was talking about the passion, the all-inness of that thing. You know, life gets busy, even in West Texas. There's stuff to take up our time. But I believe that if you would prioritize what God wants to do, seriously, that you'd unlock, even today, God can unlock. There's been the word's been going forth, mainly through the elders of the church, which I think is an amazing thing. And you know, some it's like, oh gosh, I got to had to preach. You know, they're not preaching every week, but they're bringing God's word. And I love the fact that those that stand shoulder to shoulder with Pastor Walt got to bring the word over this last series. So that's Texas right now, and you're part of that. You're in the center of that. You're one of the key churches. Not just here, but Abilene and up in Arlington and so forth. We've had a crazy start to the year. We moved house, moved into a new place, and I launched a book. It's been really, and we're selling our old place, our family home of 26 years. And you know, I walked around that house with no furniture in it, and I must admit, fellas, you know, I must have got some dust in my eye or something like that because it was leaking. You know, ever had that experience? It dust is the pollens, I think it is. Pollens, Wayne. Anyway, this book, I want to say it's not for everyone. It's for leaders that want to really lean in and say, Pastor, we want to get under your wings. This is the model that we want to help to really clarify from door to the core, from guest to group. So that we're not just having great church, but we're consistently moving forward and helping your friends and family to become true, fully orbed disciples of Jesus Christ who make disciples. I'd love to give a couple of these away. So they're out there, about $20. And give us what, I say about, you say about, is it or not? Give us what you want. I want you to get a hold of the book. If you, any youth leaders in the house, come on, you can have that. Someone who has been journeying with Pastor Walt 20 years or more, right up the back there. Don't make him come. Where's, hey, powerful worship leader, Hat Man. Come on, take it up there. Someone who is currently in adult leadership of any sort. Over here. Come on, you can come. You're energetic enough. Run. Wonderful. So you can get a copy of that. God bless you. Enjoy. We as a church back in the day were passionate about small groups. And we understood that in the bigness of church, sometimes it's difficult to actually really get into the meat of things. You know, church was never intended to be something that you just come to. It's not about coming to church, it's about becoming the church. It's about, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, my friend. And I was driving my car one night, and I was listening to Talkback Radio, and I'd heard in, I was the executive pastor at the time of a little burgeoning church called Hillsong, and we were doing all that we could to develop relationship with the local community, the mayor and the, working together. And this church that it talked about on the radio had caused a public nuisance. And there was a whole lot of terrible stuff and police cars everywhere and so forth. And I thought, that's just great. I was feeling a little bit holier than thou, I've got to say. That's just great. We're doing everything we can to help and draw close, and they're messing the reputation of the church up. Next morning, I was at a prayer meeting, and one of our youth leaders came up. And she said, Pastor Michael, did you hear about anything over? I said, yeah, can you believe? And I was a bit naughty, actually, Pastor Wall. I said, those idiots. And she said, Pastor Mike, those idiots is us. I said, Sam, what happened? She said, well, we're in a middle-class area, and we were doing a missions kind of thing with the small group. It was about 20 young people there. We wanted to give them understanding of what the persecuted church went through. Now, let me just say, if you're a youth leader here, don't do this again. And so we had a group of couple of guys turn up in balaclavas in a combi van, like a big, you know, like a, what would you call it, an RV kind of thing. And they came in and they stole the kids away to kidnap them. And all the kids were like, oh, we're being kidnapped. They got the joke, right? But there was one young nervy girl that didn't get it. She bolted out the door and hid behind a hedge. Well, the local woman that knew everything in the community, the business, you know, she looked at the time, their eyes met. She beckoned her to the safe haven. They rang our equivalent to 911, and within 10 minutes, there were 21 squad cars there and Polair, the police helicopter. I've had better days as a pastor. I've had better days. What that woman thought she saw caused her to sow a seed of a phone call that had a multiplied reaction. Later on, and I had to go and write formal apologies. Pastor Brian Houston, he was out of town at the time. And so I had to write formal apologies to the police force. 2 weeks later, I get a call from Sergeant Potowski, the guy that I'd seen at Castle Hill Police Station. And he said, oh, Pastor Murphy, and it's Sergeant Potowski. I said, oh, Pastor, Sergeant Potowski, how lovely to hear from you. He said, I don't think you will be that happy when you let me know, when I let you know what happened. I said, oh, sir, what's the problem now? He said, well, your youth apparently were on top of the building and they were filming some stuff and they threw a mannequin off the building and a lady across the road nearly had a heart attack. I said, Sergeant Potowski, you just got to know, we're not about public mischief. It's not in our mission statement. It's just not what we're about. We actually want to help the community. We want to do well by the community. And at that stage, the youth pastor was on the other end of the phone, pretending to be Sergeant Potowski, laughed. May he rest in peace. What the old lady thought she saw seeded something in her life. You seed what you see. Say it after me. You seed what you see. Come with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9. And this is the verse that Pastor Robert Morris uses in his book. If you haven't had a read of The Blessed Life, because it's relevant to what you're doing, read that before mine. But then definitely read mine. For those that want an ebook or an audio book, it's all available. XLR8book.com. XLR8book.com. Luke 9 says this, verse 12. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we're in a remote place here. He replied, you give them something to eat. That's Jesus. I know it's Jesus because it's in red. They answered, We've only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd, about 5,000 men were there. So that's about 20,000 people. I used to only count the men. No time to go into the gender discrimination thing of that right now, but that was what they used to do. So we're talking about feeding 20,000 people. But he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And the disciples did so. Everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. So he blessed it and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basket loaves of broken pieces that were left over. Father, bless to us right now the reading of your precious word. I pray that it would literally unlock a whole lot of stuff in the lives of your amazing people. 2 Chronicles 9:10 says, now he who gives, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, multiply and supply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Hebrews 6:13 says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself saying, surely blessing I will bless you. This is the word of God, friends. Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. God is quintessentially a multiplication God. You go right back in the garden, in the book of Genesis, God says to Adam and Eve before they had a huge whoopsie, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, if that was the only time it was said in Scripture, it would still be relevant. But to every single one of the patriarchs, he repeated that same thing. To Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, be fruitful and multiply. David took a ragtag group of disgruntled, disappointed, in debt, desperate. I used to go to that church. Individuals, and raise them up to a multiplied great army. And then, of course, Jesus came, was the manifestation, the embodiment, the incarnation of God. And then he said, Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go. They were like, kind of liking Jesus hanging out. It's to your advantage that I go, he said, because I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And that's where he is in us. The Holy Spirit is a multiplier. If you go into the book of Acts chapter 2, we see the birth of the church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, Peter had a good day at the office. He preached and 3,000 men got saved. Could have been 10,000 souls. And it says they were added to them. And then they were added to the church, verse 47. And then in Acts chapter 5, verse 14, they were increasingly added. Then Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says the disciples were multiplied. Make no mistake, my friend. God in his very nature is a multiplication God. Start with double and start thinking beyond that. Because that's the heart of God for you. Not just in your money, as you release it. Note what happened here. This is a crazy story. Imagine a big camp meeting. It was like that. 20,000 people. Could have been the biggest crowd that Jesus spoke to at one time. And it was getting towards the end of the day. Imagine the guest speaker. And imagine if I, Pastor, you know, and I'm going okay for half an hour. Then it's an hour. Then it's 2 hours. Then it's 4 hours. Then it's 6 o'clock tonight. And presumably someone would have yanked me off by then. But it's like they got hungry. This was awkward, but they weren't leaving. They were loving what he had to share. And so the disciples, being very logical about it, hey, Jesus, should we just dismiss the crowd? Getting a bit hungry, you know, starting to get, some of the people are getting a bit hangry. Anyone have a spouse that gets hangry? Don't you dare put your hand. Oh, you're game. What boldness here this morning, Pastor. And so the little boy gave his lunch. Note this, the kid had to release what he had. And whether it's your money, whether it's your time, or whether it's your talent, your ability, you've got to release that to God. You know, I've been around for 40 years in ministry, 40 years married last year, and you learn that selfishness will get you nowhere. If it's about you, it'll always only be about you. God cannot multiply that spirit. And I believe we're living in days right now, and I want to particularly speak to those of us that have been walking this path for a number of years. Here's the danger. The great thing is you've got a strong, solid, consistent, immovable foundation. The bad side of that is you've got a strong, consistent, immovable foundation. Like you are set in your spiritual ways. What if there's a whole new dimension, 70-year-old? If you're 70, you're 75. Maybe you're 63, 64 like me. Maybe you're in your 50s. And you say, well, I'm now in a routine. Me and my family, we go to TLC. We love it. Love Pastor Walt. Love it, you know, love the multi-generational thing. And then I go home. And of course, I have a quiet time every day. What if you think that's it? And God's got a whole lot more for you, which actually may be connected to your longevity, just saying. Where maybe you could run a small group. Maybe you could step up and serve. Maybe you could give it another level. I want you to know that you're not finished. This place needs you right now. There's a move coming through with Sheena, you saw on the screen, and Mike who's up there in kids. Some fantastic young leaders coming through. And we need you to be on your game. We need gray heads and those that have got less hair than they used to have on their game. I want to throw the gauntlet of challenge down to you. Now some of you will say, oh my gosh, that's a bit rude. I'm Australian, that's my excuse. What's yours? There'll be a couple of you that go, you know what, I'm going to receive that as from the Lord. I'm going to start to, rather than just be set in my ways and start making excuses for why I'm not more engaged, the next generation, frankly, your kids and grandkids are watching on. And so we have here, they had to release from their hand, the little boy's hand. And then he did three things. He blessed it, he broke it, and he distributed it, and that's when it multiplied. It didn't multiply in the hands of Jesus. It multiplied in the hands of the disciples and the people. That's the heart of God. This multiplication thing, of course it involves your money. It involves you, obviously, returning to God what is His. That's the tithe. That's not generous. I mean, if we think that's generous, you know, listen hard for heaven, there'll be a ba-ha-ha. When you're giving something, someone back to something they've, someone, you're giving something back to someone who's given it to you, you don't turn up and say, yeah, I thought I'd be generous. Hang on, I gave that to you. I loaned that to you. I was wondering where that thing was. I loaned that to you 2 years ago. Heads down, eyes closed. Anyone ever had that situation? You return the tithe. Frankly, it might be good to think about that in terms of our time and our talent. That's returning to God what's His. And then generosity starts after that. But here's the immutable truth of Scripture. If you will release it, allow God to bless it, out of a sense of brokenness. Brokenness in the Bible speaks of a lot of things, but it mainly speaks of humility. You'll seed what you see. You'll seed what you see. If you don't see this, you'll hold on to it. Stinginess is the result of blindness. When we don't see the promise of God as real. Yeah, I know, Pastor Mike. You know, Hebrews says, blessing, I'll bless you. That's just like, amen. Throwback to my old Catholic days. But this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And you can take it to the bank about your time as you seed your schedule, as you seed your talents and skills, as you seed your finance. God's heart is to want to actually bless. And so as this happened, as God is accustomed to do, not only did he feed the 20,000, and I did a little bit of math. Let's say they all had 1.5 fish each. We'll just talk about the fish. And a fish meal at Macca's or something like that is with the bread is $5. That's about $150,000 worth of fish for a little lunch. It's not a bad ROI, just saying. Another passage that I'll talk to you about, you know, as I've thought about, homes recently, we moved into the new place, and I was feeling nostalgic about our old place that we're in the process of selling. I thought about our very first house. Daniel, have you got that shot up there? This house is tiny. It was about 4 paces from the front door to the back door. About 4 paces from the front. It was an old fibro place. There it is. There it is, tiny. That was our first ever home. But that little tiny house, Hillsong was planted out of that. My mother-in-law had a last breath in that house, as did my wife's brother. The kids grew up there. It's a tiny house. Tiny houses are all the rage. Daniel Calhoun, he built a tiny house in his backyard that's a prayer house. Great example, actually. I think we got a shot of that as well. Haven't got the whole backyard and stuff, there it is. That's his little prayer house. You should ask him to come and see if you can come and pray with him someday. Knock on his door at 3 a.m. and say, "Hey, I want to pray." There's all sorts of different shapes and sizes. There was in 2 Kings 4, there was a woman, and she had entertained, her and her husband, entertained Elisha, the man of God. And she was obviously a good cook. Initially, she had to persuade him to eat. I know he's a man of God because, you never have to persuade a man to eat. The dude must have been fasting. He kept coming back. So her cooking, her victuals was pretty good. She said, "Hey, why don't we build a little house, a tiny house on the roof, so that when he comes, he can stay." And I don't know how much a tiny house goes for these days, but maybe 20 grand, 30 grand, something like that, to spec one up. And so she did that. And they put in it a bed, a lamp, a table and a chair. Well, of course, what happened was, and I'll cut to the chase on this, that he learnt that she didn't have a son, couldn't have kids, and her old man, her husband, he's getting on, he's getting up there. And so he implied he's going to be no help. And the man of God said, "This time next year, you're going to hold a baby." She said, "Don't mess with me." Her initial response was fear. Cut a long story short again, she had a son. He grew up and then he was out in the field with his dad. "My head, my head!" He dropped dead. Got it to the mother, died in his arms. She put the boy up into the prophet's room on the bed. So the very space that she provided for God, the tiny house became her place of miracles. The man of God came there, he lied out on the child. The child started to get warm but was still dead. He walked around the room, prayed, laid back down again, and the kid starts sneezing. "Achoo! Achoo!" Does it 7 times. I won't go through the whole theater. And he comes alive, he gives him back to his mum. A little later on, Gehazi, who was Elisha's sidekick, was talking to the king. They had influence back then. And he was talking, and the king said, "Tell me some of the miracles that your master has performed." And he said, "Well, there was this lady, and she got her son back to life." As he was speaking to the king, she walks in to reclaim her land and her taxes. That's going to be a big miracle right there. God has a way of being able to, when we put aside a little bit, God will give us much more. In fact, the king said to one of his workers, he said, "Give her back a house, because that had been all mortgaged during the famine, and back taxes for the next 7 years." I know that raising the kid from the dead was a miracle, but the fact that the government returned the taxes, that's probably a bigger one. Would you agree? God's wanting to unlock some stuff here. You will seed what you see. Some of you will make a decision today to actually honor God with your finances and start tithing. And God bless you. Some of you will say it's time to kick it up. Others will say, I'm gonna seed my schedule to the Lord. Others will say, I've got some gifts and talents that are currently hidden under a bushel. God, are you gonna talk to one of the pastors, talk to Pastor David or someone else and say, hey, I want to actually give that to God. Could you give me a G? I'd like to sing this next bit. Oh, as if I'm gonna do that. Here's what the woman got. She got her house back. Let's say it's 400 grand. I don't know. It's because they were quite well to do. And she got back taxes back. That's probably another 100 or something. 500 grand for a 30 grand investment. That's more than a 1 in 10, 10x ROI. You can't outgive God, friends. He's a multiplication God. He's a multiplication God. But you know where it all starts? It starts where you just say, God, I want to hand you my, I want to release my heart to you. There are some people here, and I don't need to be a prophet to say that, that you've never ever actually surrendered your life, your heart to Jesus Christ, and today's your day. I'm a first generation believer. I don't come from a Christian home. So I'm not here judging or pointing the finger. I'm saying we're all on a journey. And today your journey starts. Others here, and you were had a fervency in your heart. There was a white hotness of like, oh God. But if you're honest with yourself, right now you're just bumping along the bottom. Today that finishes. The Holy Spirit says, would you give me your heart? Would you give me your heart? Would you hand your heart over to me? He says, what I can do with a life that is broken and surrendered before me is not even worth worrying about. I got you. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. Don't just think about the cost of the seed. Oh, what about, think about the harvest. Here's what we're gonna do. Right from the front to the back, right across here, on each side, I'm gonna get you to close your eyes in a moment. Before you do, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna simply count to three. And you say, Michael, what you're talking about makes sense to me. That's where I'm at. I need to get my life, honestly, right before God. Or I've got to come back into that sweet spot that I know God wants me to dwell. And right now, God is going to start this miracle in your life as a result of you just saying, I'm gonna hand my heart over. By the time I hit three, when I hit three, I want you to lift your hand. Everyone who says, Michael, that's me, can you include me in this prayer today? I wanna do business with God. I wanna give my life to Him, my heart to Him for the first time, or I wanna come back into that sweet spot that I know God wants me to dwell. Cool? Cool? Come on, why don't you close your eyes right now, right across the house. That'll give you a bit of privacy. So you're not distracted. One, Jesus Christ died on that cross in order to pay the full price of your sin and mine so that you could be totally forgiven, totally washed clean. Two, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. When you hear His voice, don't harden your heart, but respond to Him. With every eye closed, every head bowed, you say, Michael, that's me. From the front to the back on either side, I need to get my life right with God. I've got to stop bumping along the bottom. If that's you right now, all over the house, I want to see your hand confidently and boldly in the air. Lift it up right now. Three. Many hands. Keep them up. You're saying, Jesus, I am intentionally making a decision to open my heart up to you, either for the very first time. Stacks of hands. I would love to meet you afterwards. I'll just be out at the book desk afterwards. I'd love to say hi, but we're going to do some business with God just in a moment. I just sense there's a couple more people and there's a reluctance. You know in your heart that God's moving. I guess there are 20 people with their hands raised right now, just responding to Jesus. Good on you, champ. If you haven't raised your hand, but you want to, lift it up. Thank you. Just a beautiful touch of God here right now. Could we just keep your hand raised? Could we pray this prayer together? And let's all pray. Let's all pray. Not a little mealy mouth kind of like, let's really pray with boldness. And if you raised your hand particularly, you don't pray to me, you're praying to Jesus right now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you for all you've done for me on the cross. From my heart, with my mouth, I confess you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for taking the place of me, for paying the price for my sin, so that I could be forgiven. With the help of your Holy Spirit, I want to live every day to please you. Amen and amen. Come on, TLC, why don't you encourage everyone. Just before I hand back over to Pastor Walt, you've been the word for those that have been here consistently. And I really want to lay that challenge down. Be someone, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Like be found in the house of God everywhere. I understand sickness can happen and so forth. This is not about the church having their seats filled up, but it's actually about you having your life filled up. You're setting an example. You can't preach loud enough to your kids over and above the example you're setting. Be found in the house of God. I believe that God wants to unlock some things in people's lives. For some, you're making a decision to say, I'm going to get serious in putting God first in my finances. Someone else here, and you say, oh, I know, I've been busy and I haven't really got around to making that decision to really make a contribution, serve with my gifts in the house. Someone else here, and you say, you know what, I've led in another church, or I used to lead some time ago. I think that's pretty prevalent. There's a lot of people, and you were in leadership, but you've checked out. Can I really encourage you? I just want to pray a final prayer before Pastor Walt comes. If that resonates with you, right across the house, any one of those, just lift your hand right now. Just lift your hand right now. I'm stepping up. I'm stepping up to a new level. I'm actually stepping up, and I, out of that brokenness and humility, I want to actually acknowledge that God is a multiplication God. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for those hands. I thank you for the people of God. I thank you for your word that is truth. And Lord, I speak right now, Lord, an unlocking of their eyes, that they might see you as the multiplication God as you are, Father, in order to be able to seed their time, their talent, and their treasure. We give you the praise and the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.